actors, right? The road to fame and celebrity. All right, I get it. You've had an incredible life. Aren't you sick of hearing about them? Me too. The only problem is, I'm one of them. Except I'm not famous. Oh, you've probably seen me. A bunch of times. I'm the guy with the information about the hero's dad. I'm the doctor that can't figure out what's wrong with one of the main characters. I'm the guy they just punched in the face during the interrogation. My name's Brian LaFontaine, and I'm a professional actor. Oh, and it's not just me. There's a ton of us. We're the ones you don't hear about. Yeah, we're the names that scroll by at lightning speed during the end credits, but there's way more of us than there are of them. We're important too, dammit, because without us, they can't tell the rest of the story. So this is for all the movie and TV prostitutes, homeless people, drug dealers, cab drivers, cops numbers 2, 3, and sometimes 4, the pilots, the waitresses, and girl at party. This is You May Have Seen. Today I'm talking to Joanna Jowett. Joanna is a local actress who has shined as bright as the sun, and apparently knows how to fly on a suitcase or something like that. Either way, it's weird. So Joanna, where may we have seen you?
You may have seen me in a variety of commercials.
Okay.
Bojangles, Bojangler commercial most recently. Some North Carolina education lottery commercials. A Sheetz commercial or two.
In the off chance that someone outside of the state of North Carolina is listening to this. Where else may we have seen you?
Well, I was in Life as We Know It for about a good 10 seconds.
A good 10 seconds. As We Know It was with Josh Duhamel and
Catherine Heigl.
Okay. Now, what did you do in Life as We Know It?
I woke up in bed next to Josh Duhamel.
Oh.
No. I mean, yes. Oh, but in reality, filming like any kind of intimate scene like that is so completely disturbing.
Were you was that what the scene was about? You weren't just like waking up, but you were like,
No.
Let's touch each other.
No.
No,
we were. Well, the reason that they had cast me is they wanted someone that when they opened the shot up, you thought he was in bed with Catherine Heigl.
Yep.
It turns out I am not Catherine Heigl. Spoiler. And then I wake up and I roll over and I say his name. And then it shows, you know, him walking me out. And we kissed then.
Okay.
Awkward. It's because, right. You know, you don't know this person.
What was the audition like? Do you remember?
I drove down to Atlanta and sat down in front of the director. We're like almost knees to knees.
Okay.
Like in chairs.
Right.
Which was odd because I have yet to have an audition like that since.
Now this wasn't the first show that you've ever been booked on.
I had a principal on a Christian television show.
Talk about opposite ends of the spectrum.
Really
Christian
opposite
show,
ends. Oh yeah.
In bed, sleeping with Josh Duhamel.
Right, and you know, and the whole in bed sleeping with, it's like you've got covers up tucked under your armpits so that they can't see that you have, you know, things on underneath,
right?
And then the Christian television show, which is, you know, make sure that you're almost wearing a turtleneck, you know, in every scene, a sexy turtleneck.
It's suggesting that she's a woman.
Yes, so there's a vague suggestion there that she has girl parts. Or lady parts. And then the fan mail from a lot of the fans of the Christian television show.
What?
Which varied widely.
You received fan mail?
A lot of fan mail.
Okay, so all right. So I'm going to get to the whole. So do you ever get recognized?
I have gotten recognized like once or twice from that. That experience, it's has been so endearing and humbling and, what a treat.
Yes.
And then I've also gotten some fan mail and it was through
the prison system.
Nope. close. Facebook Messenger. And it was what happened is like, so we finished filming this series years and years ago.
Yeah.
And there were, I didn't realize this whole list of messages where people can send them to you, but if they're not your friends,
right?
You know,
right?
Well, somehow I discovered them one day, and it was this like lists of like of these fan mails.
Wow.
So I just started going through and reading them, and there was everything from thank you so much for the positive message, and thank you so much for the good work that you're doing, and you know, and then there were a handful of you're not a real Christian, and you're going to hell, and God sees your soul,
Yes.
I mean, like really, like I mean, just a crazy, crazy, crazy town stuff.
I mean, so not being able to separate the fact that you're an actor. The story that you're telling.
No. Amazing.
So some of the special people came and found you. That's fantastic.
Sure did.
So what was the first show that you ever got booked on?
Oh, wow. One Tree Hill. That was exciting. It was super exciting.
You had a recurring role on there.
I did.
Who did you play?
I played the boss of Sophia...
Bush. Okay, you played her boss.
Yes, in the clothing store where I ended up stealing her clothing line designs. And then she broke back in and stole them back. And then I had them arrested, which then ended my recurring role. It turns out when you have major characters arrested and you're not a major character, bye.
No, do you remember when you got that call saying you've booked this recurring role?
Oh, yeah, super excited. I was so excited to do something on a different level than what I had done.
So when did you start acting? How long have you been doing this?
I played the son in a first or
let's
kindergarten.
Go back to the beginning.
Yeah, let's go way back. It was either kindergarten or first grade, and I played the son. My mother fashioned me a red cape out of a Christmas tree skirt.
And excellent.
You know, like you do when you're the son. And I guess I always kind of had that, you know, be like, you know, the dancing, singing monkey sort of thing. You know, grind the organ and I'll go.
Dance,
you know?
Monkey, dance?
Yeah, yep. Totally.
You wanted to always put on a show.
I wanted to make people laugh. I wanted to please people. I wanted to make people smile. I found out early on that my grandmother, who was in a wheelchair when I was little, she would like turn a rope for us so that we could jump rope.
Uh-huh.
And if I faked like the rope had hit my legs and fell, that sometimes she would laugh so hard that she would pee her pants. And so I feel like that was really the moment that hooked me. If I can
make grandma pee.
Right. Then, you know, and it was always, you know, if I could make her laugh hard enough, you know, which I could frequently do just from randomness, whether it was like singing into her like walking cane.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I used to sing the Greatest American Heroes theme song into it.
Believe it or not, I've got grandma's cane. She can't walk now.
She's peeing. Yeah. It's good times. I always loved acting and theater, and mom played piano bars, and so I got to travel around with her before I got into school, and you know, then when we were on vacation, you know, I got to go different places. Like she played the Miami Hilton for 2 months.
Cool.
Yeah. So and they put her up in a like one of the honeymoon suites for 2 months, and I got to live with her and take like skiing lessons on the lagoon.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and watch mom like put evening gowns on to go to work to play the piano bar at night.
And you were thinking,
I was like, everybody's mom does this.
Oh, really?
Of course.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know any different.
So
everybody's mom wears 6-inch heels and gorgeous evening gowns and, you know,
lives in extravagant hotel suites.
Yeah. And, yeah, absolutely.
So when you did like hang out with your friends and you were like, oh, what is this room? What is this room that we're in? Why is your mom wearing jeans?
Oh, those are regular people. I guess another recurring theme in my life is if you can give me a role where I can be an idiot, then I have a greater chance of booking it.
That is just so admirable. I mean, I've known you for a long time, so I know what your sense of humor is like, but that's just crazy. Because for those of you who don't know Joanna Jowett, you should look her up. She is a lovely, beautiful woman, and not what you would expect to be like, hey, let's make fart noises, and I'm going to fall on my face for you. So it's a fantastic combination to have. Now, has that served you, you think, the best throughout your career? Is that your willingness to just sort of perform against what people would automatically assume that you would do based on your appearance?
I don't know, because it's just what I've done.
Right.
Maybe not. Yeah. You know, maybe if... you know, who's to say, right? It's such a crapshoot. And I think it depends on the director and the agency and
sure.
the producers, and, you know?
Sure. I mean, as far as, yeah, pleasing people, mm-hmm. making them laugh, making them like you, you have no idea how to do that. When you go into, you know, when we go into a room, there's no idea. We don't know what they're thinking. We don't know what's on their mind. We don't know what they're looking for. So, you know, it's not like we get the opportunity to really ask them, what would please you the most?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
well, hopefully they give you some level of feedback, or you've got a casting director who is helpful,
right,
and communicates the way that you communicate.
Right.
Because there are certainly casting directors that are attempting to communicate,
right.
but they're not
they don't
so
have
good
skill.
At it either.
Not so good.
You know? And some that are absolutely amazing at it, you mm-hmm. know, and I've been so fortunate to be guided by several who have helped me a lot before I put a foot in a room for a callback full of, you know, 15 people shoved into a room who all are typing on their computers
yep.
and not bothering to look up.
Yep.
I've been on the other side of the camera casting where I looked over and the director is playing a video game.
Oh, yes.
And yes. I was just... my heart sank for the actor. And it was one of those where it didn't matter what they did whenever they walked into the room. Like, even if he had, like, looked up for half a second, he had immediately decided no.
So that dude was just there for the paycheck. I mean, that's
yes.
that's the message that I would have taken.
Yeah.
It's just like...
he had had one big movie that he directed
okay.
and, you know, had this sort of air about him that, you know... and he was kind of flippant and rude throughout.
Right.
You know, and maybe that served him well.
Right. How much of that have you run into? Like when you've walked into the room and you're trying to, you know, do your thing for the couple of lines that you're auditioning for or whatever. How many times have you gotten that? As soon as you walked in, you're like, oh, okay.
I'm like, I might as well just go ahead and walk out. Plenty of times. I mean, this job, it's for somebody, I mean, who, I mean, I've obviously been a people pleaser for, a long time and then tried to... realize the balance of that, right?
Yeah.
Just, you know, for my own sense of self-worth and sanity, right?
Right. So what was the goal for you? You know, was there a certain goal that you had in mind? Like, this is what I'm shooting for.
Well, I can't, you know, I had a lot of people ask me, you know, so you're going to go to LA, right? Why aren't you going to LA? Da, 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 da. I had been told, I guess, by a director who I deeply respected, that, you know, in LA, there are hundreds of thousands of you who are prettier and more talented.
Oi. How did that go over?
It hurt my feeling a little.
Yeah.
yeah. That one that I had left. It...
so now you have, completely dead inside.
No feelings.
Yep.
And I'm deeply rooted where I am. You know, it's one of those being a bigger fish in a smaller pond mm-hmm. Then seemed like the better idea, the smarter business choice to me. And who knows, maybe I would have gone out to LA and done well or done not so well and sold on the black market, you know, and that's fine. Mm-hmm.
So how do you think that it's gone here for you then, so that you decided to stay in a smaller market? Did it go the way that you wanted it to? Has it gone the way that you wanted it to? Do you think you've peaked? Your best days are behind you.
Probably.
You think?
There's a good chance that I've peaked
yeah?
in front of the camera.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I don't know. That's just like the rip the Band-Aid off honest answer of it.
Yeah.
Sure, it's totally possible that I've peaked in front of the camera.
Right.
It's also really possible that maybe I haven't even come close to hitting my stride yet in front of the camera, especially since I'm fortunate enough to work in the casting side of it now.
Right. So do you think that there is a sort of a common mindset or trap with actors that think, I've got this figured out. I've got this whole acting thing figured out. I've got it. My way is the best way. And if this is what, if they don't like this, then fuck them.
Yeah. I mean, and some of those do really, really well because they have such, their self-esteem is in this locked shell of, you know, this fortress.
Untouchableness.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely. They're like, you don't like me? Fuck you. You know? There's 10 other people out there that do.
That's right.
You know, you don't have good taste? Fuck you. You know, that whole thing. and any version of it, instead of like, you know, these, I think that.
Do you ever stop and look at them and go, hey, I'm the Bojangles lady.
Yeah.
Don't tell me. Yeah. I'm the lady from the suitcase flying across. The...
You may have seen me riding a suitcase before, and you should check yourself. It's so easy to get your feelings hurt in this whole process. Over and over and over again. I mean, it's a business of rejection.
Well, there you go. And that's...
Okay.
I remember what it was. And that's still... That's connected. That's fantastic. So, I mean, with all of it, is there any sense of frustration through all this time that still, like, you know, you walk down the street, you go to the grocery store, nobody knows who you are. That there's been all this time, all this effort, all this life experience and education in this business. And...
Crickets.
And you're sitting here in my living room in my house.
It's a very nice living room.
Thank you. And you're talking with me.
Well, I guess I go for the glass half full version of I'm still in this business. I'm still involved in that energy and excitement of, you know, working with actors and still performing,
right,
and acting,
right.
So I guess, you know, it's the whole, you know, people plan and God laughs sort
right.
of thing.
Right.
I don't know. I just feel lucky to be involved with it as it is. I love it. I love this business.
What do you do? The audition comes in. You've got to prepare for this. Go. What do you do?
Find somebody that you can run the script and, you know, over and over and over, beat that script up again and again.
Right.
If you're fortunate enough to have somebody to be able to do that with. I've had friends that are some of the most intelligent people that I've ever known. Mm-hmm. And, you know, hand them a script and say, okay, play pretend with me, essentially.
Right.
And they all of a sudden can't finish the sentence and make it sound like a...
Oh, you are here.
Hello, how are you today?
So they become Hal.
I don't get it.
So I mean, and a lot of people don't understand that. That there is...
Hey boo, play pretend.
But that's not easy for a lot of people to understand. I mean, again, I'm sure you run into this. I know I have. I have this with my own family. My own family. What... Over the years, when someone has said... You know, what do you do? And you said, I'm an actor. Like, what are some of the responses that you've gotten? Or do you lie and just say, I'm a chiropodist?
What's a chiropodist? That sounds interesting. I'll tell them I'm an actor and they're like, oh, what have I seen you in? And I'm like, well, I've done this and this and this and this. And they stand there smiling and nodding politely. They don't care. It's, you know, unless I can... You know, say, oh, I was in bed with Josh Duhamel. And then they go, oh my gosh, what was that like? You know,
right.
They lose their minds. And then when you tell them what it was really like, that it was completely uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever they say, oh, well, it's going to be a closed set, they mean that there's 20 people standing around a bed looking at you.
Closed to the general public.
Right. And the 40 people that would... normally be in addition to those 20. Well, they're all standing around the monitors in the other room.
Hoping
so that's the closed set. Right. Good luck. Yeah. I mean, yeah. And then I'm sorry if you do. So it's a, no. I'm kidding. I have a fantastic ass.
I'm still wearing yesterday's drawers.
Yeah.
I didn't change.
No, I'm good about clean underwear. Yeah, no, that's one thing I can give myself. Thumbs
up. It's the least you can do. Josh Duhamel is at least worth a clean pair of underwear. But I mean, you know, they don't really comprehend like the amount of work and time and effort that you put in to, you know, that one scene or that one audition or that one job or whatever it might be. I mean, because now, again, this is, I'm so happy you're here. I'm so glad that we're talking about this in this way. Because now that you're on the casting side, how many people are being considered for each role that comes through?
I just cast a commercial or held auditions for a commercial where there were two roles. And the amount of people that were submitted for it were about 1,000. So 500 each. For two roles, and the roles were essentially interchangeable. And so then that gets whittled down and gets whittled down, you know, the 20 or 30 best for one role. So there's anywhere from 40 to 60 people then for two roles out of 1,000, and then they then send back from the company, okay, these six people are our favorites, mm-hmm. so three for each role.
Yep.
So then we put those actors on hold yep. and say, you know.
Yep. Yep.
You make sure that you have these yep. dates available. Mm-hmm. We have the right of a first refusal.
Right.
And then the next thing that we get is we've decided to go with real people for those roles.
Gosh, wow, that did not end the way
it did not end the way that we thought it was going to either.
1,000 submissions.
Right. But we want to, but don't wait, don't release those actors yet because they may reconsider. So it's the, like, then you're in this holding pattern of horribleness and seeing that side of it and going, oh no. Yeah.
This is the path that we've chosen?
This is the idiocy that we've chosen.
What the hell is wrong with us?
Yeah.
You'd think that.
You would think that. But man, there is nothing like being on set. And there is nothing like being in front of a camera or being behind a camera or, you know, seeing somebody take direction and make that pivot and it be so on point and absolutely perfect. And someone who hasn't booked before because no one has been able to or has taken the time to say, oh, come here and watch what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden they go from, you know, either a nervous wreck of going like, is this right? Is this right? To go, oh, okay. And they try it again and shift completely. And then that, it's conveyed exactly what they wanted to. And I'm like, yeah, wow. Come here. Okay, watch the difference.
That's fantastic.
And seeing, like, it really is like light bulb moments.
I mean, can you equate then from the beginning of the process to actually booking the job, like you being that one person or those two people out of 1,000, what would you equate that to?
I mean, winning the lottery. I mean, it's that.
And that's just for that one job. That's just for that one job. We're not talking career changing. That person's going to go and work for a day.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right. Well, and, you know, I've had amazing teachers along the way, one of whom, Carl McIntyre.
Yes.
Who I took a commercial acting class with him ages ago.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that he had said, which has always stuck with me, was when you get the job, you don't want to know why. When you don't get the job, you don't want to know why. And I see the infinite value of that,
mm-hmm.
especially now, where the jobs that there have been a lot of jobs that I've booked, where I was the second choice.
Right.
There have been a lot of jobs that I didn't book and I was the first choice.
Oh, sure.
That it was, oh no, go ahead and release her, which means we're not using her.
Right.
But I had been told that I was the director's first choice, the producer's first choice, the agency's first choice, the whoever's first choice.
So then what do you think?
It could be that I didn't match the other person.
Right.
Or, oh, in our last thing, we used somebody that looked kind of like her. Let's go with this lady.
Oh, my
or,
God.
You know, and that's, it's just, it's the nature of the beast.
Sure, sure.
Or, we're cutting that scene. We don't have time for it.
I was just going to say, you had a situation recently, right?
Oh, I did.
So tell me about that.
Okay. Well, I had been booked on Mr. Mercedes.
Right. It's a new show for DirecTV.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Brendan Gleeson,
right,
is the actor with whom I was going to have a scene.
Oh, man.
So I have had an acting crush on him, like, from In Bruges and Mad-Eye Moody from, like, Harry Potter. Like, I was so nerding out.
Right.
I mean, I own a Harry Potter wand. Like, I do. I am not nerd.
Were you gonna bring it to set with you? Were you gonna...
Have them sign it. I know this isn't your wand, sir, but would you please sign it for me just in case? No. I would never. I would only think that loudly. I would never say it.
Expelli, like, get out of here.
Yeah. Expelli, fire her. And, you know, in the scene that I had booked, I was a mom with two kids, and I had, you know, all of three lines, but it was, you know, asking Brendan Gleeson if he was okay, and then he goes on this, like, you know, paragraph rant of, you know, just to be in that man's presence.
Right.
And to hear him spout off with his Irish brogue in this, like, and then to be told that that scene was cut because they ran out of time for filming it.
Oh, my gosh.
Which, you know, it was...
So did you even make, did you even make it to set? Did you even make it to...
No.
No, you didn't even get down there.
No.
Wow.
No. And it was... Then, you know, the follow-up message was, you know, we really loved what you did, and we're going to keep you in mind for future episodes, which, I mean, is... I mean, hey, listen, if... Let me just hope that I even, like, get a pity vote on, like,
right,
another character.
Right.
Like,
right,
even if that works to my advantage, I'll take it.
This is part of the just the excitement and the purpose and reason behind doing it. I mean, you were reading, you had auditioned for Mom with Kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you had three lines.
Sure.
Right. I mean, the people can't see what you just did right here, describing it. She has geeked out, like, she had one eyeball
nerded.
That, like, fell on the table. She was so excited.
Yeah.
Because just for the sheer opportunity to work with these people that you admire and who are so talented, and just to absorb all of that.
But I had no idea whenever I auditioned for it. I had no idea about any of it until they came back after I'd sent the audition off, and said, please make sure that she is available for these dates.
Right.
And this is before I was booked, but it was that I was in the running, sort of like I was in the small pool for this.
Yep.
And then realizing that the person that I would be in the scene with was Brendan Gleeson. I mean, you know, face falls off and just...
Man, that is just so incredible. So incredible.
Yeah, super cool.
For me personally, that's sort of the accomplishment. To me, that's the pat on the back is they've said, yeah, we think you're good enough to go go toe-to-toe with this person who has reached the pinnacle.
Right. Somebody that's like a vibrating on that level sort of a thing.
Yeah.
And okay, oh no, you're good. You're not going to shit the bed around them, essentially. Like, okay, if the best that I can, like, you know, even if that's like the vote of confidence,
right?
That you're a good actor.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's just what we all want to hear.
Right.
You do good work.
Yeah. You're not going to go over there and, you know, pull like the Ricky Bobby Talladega Nights, I don't know what to do with my hands thing. And, you know, or walk with like the unopposing arms.
Right. How long has it been since you booked your last legit TV film gig? That long?
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Oh, yeah.
So to finally get a hit and then to have...
And bye.
Snaked out. So now how do you bounce back from that?
Do you
take a day and, you know, cry and throw things and, you know?
No, I was pleasantly surprised that, that I was, you know, it made me sad. It did. Whenever I got word, 'cause it was like at 4:55 and And I saw the email come through that said, Joe, I'm so sorry. And it was like, oh, moo. And, you know, and then being able to kind of pull my head out of my ass quickly, just because, you know, you work in casting and you're, and then realizing it really is, it is absolutely nothing in any way personal.
Of course.
It's just welcome to a little bit of suck, you know?
I mean, and that really is the key and the truth 99.7% of the time is that it is not personal. It's not. But we take it that way.
Sir, it's easy to.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, there are times that I think that people should take things more personally.
Right.
Whenever they continually don't get cast, it's like, okay, so now it's time for you to pivot and do something else. Like, and not like, don't act anymore.
Right.
Maybe there's some of those that shouldn't act anymore.
Right.
But, you know, time to figure out something else to, you know, some pivot that you can do. Maybe you need to learn, take some more classes or find, you know, somebody else to work with that could bring something else out or do some real deep soul searching. Man, there have been plenty of callbacks where I've just shit the bed straight. I mean, just far too nervous, you know, did my lines at like, you know, mock four and seeing that from both sides of the camera, doing it and recording it and feeling like my heart breaking for, you know, for everybody that does that, you know, because it's hard to shake that sometimes.
Actors just need a hug. Sometimes we just need a hug.
Yeah, like a weighted blanket thrown over you, you know, the same way that they do to like the preemies with like the Beanie Babies, you know, just a little... Okay, you lay down. I'm going to put this on your back and you should calm down, boo-boo. Where you're safe, it's okay. You know, but we don't like, that's what we really need. Like somebody, and it's essentially like put us in a straitjacket for like 5 minutes and have somebody like sit there and like look us right in the eye and go, it's okay. It's okay. Shh, it's okay. You're okay. You're good.
The doggy compression jackets.
We
like
do.
When it's thunder and lightning.
We need a thunder buddy. We need a human thunder buddy. Oh, God. I really could have used a thunder buddy in several of my auditions.
So the acting business is equivalent to a thunderstorm.
A thunderstorm for a really high-strung dog. At least for me, it is. I need like a compression vest. That's, oh man, maybe that's my pivot. I'm going to start booking the shit out of everything. I'm going to wear a compression vest and maybe like make a makeshift belt out of Beanie Babies just to weigh myself down a little.
And then you're going to have to actually go to set when you get like, booked with all that shit.
She's so lumpy. Like, why is she lumpy? It's the Beanie Babies. Don't worry about it. She's amazing in front of the camera.
And action.
Right.
Look at her go.
She's incredible. I've never felt anything so much. It doesn't work whenever I tell myself. I need somebody else to tell me.
Oh, my God.
Like, I need to hire somebody.
I had you send me these sides. So this, you sent me this. This is scene that you actually did.
Oh, right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So what is this from?
Okay, this is from Captive.
Which is a movie that you were in with, who else was in that?
David Oyelowo and...
Kate Mara?
Kate Mara, yeah. It was such a cool process because the callback, I went down and David Oyelowo is who I got to read with.
Oh, that is awesome.
It was beyond awesome. And he was, I mean, obviously...
Fantastic.
Unbelievably great.
Yeah.
And so kind. And I had a great audition. Everything fell into place. And it was one of those, like, the stars aligned sort of things. Like, the words, like, stuck in my head.
Awesome.
Because there are times whenever it's like, you know, all of a sudden your brain becomes like a nonstick pan and nothing will stick in there. It could be the most simple line in the world.
Right.
Can't remember it.
Yep.
But it was, everything was, I mean, right on point and to where dropped the script and it was just connecting with David Oyelowo and going back and forth and mwah, beautiful. And then the next day, like, they... called my agent that night and said, hey, can we bring her back and we want to read her for a different role after, you know, reading me for, you know, two other roles. And, which of course is yes and.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Of course. Right.
And then ended up booking this character who was originally slated as a 50-year-old man. And when I ran into David Oyelowo on set, he said, "You were so good, we had to figure out a place to put you."
That is the best.
Oh, I mean, melted, done. Like it was one of those, I could live off of that. You know, it's the highest praise, right?
Right. Again, you're a good actor. We just told you that you're good.
Yeah.
You're really good.
You are validated right there.
Right.
Yeah. Over and done with.
That's awesome. So here's what I want to do. Yep. I want to read this scene again. And you're still going to read Samson. I want you to do it as if, let's see how your audition would go if you actually tried to do it as,
as
a guy
in
his
50s. Okay.
And so I'm going to read Chestnut, and I'm going to read it as a woman then. If you're going to be a man, then I'm going to be a woman.
All right.
And action.
David Wilhelm, U.S. Immigration's Customs Enforcement Agent. Been with the agency 18 years. Found the Mercury Sable Nichols stole earlier abandoned up the street. Next door neighbor saw a Nichols lookalike drive off in Wilhelm's Chevy pickup.
Can you tell how far the shooter was from Mr. Wilhelm?
About here.
And Wilhelm was standing there?
No. From the angle of the wound, Mr. Wilhelm was on his knees.
I would have gotten cast.
I mean, I nailed that.
I think I would have gotten cast.
I nailed that.
As, yep.
You're a fantastic lady.
I did not at all sound like a transsexual murderer at all with a van full of, you know, human heads.
What's in the box? What's in the box?
And you...
And why do I think the guys in their 50s sound like that?
Hey. Oh my God. Joe, thank you so, so, so much for doing this.
Thank you.
I love you. I wish you continued success. I'm so glad that you're still in this business. And everybody, look for Joanna Jowett. This is You May Have Seen, and thank you so much for listening.